Shukla Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus, the Lord began to praise him. Text 2, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Vachastavaita Janadeva Sundritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashaskaram Yatya Pramanam Bhagavat Samparaye Pitamaha Kulavritha Prashantaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family and they enhance your reputation. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family, and specifically to his grandson, Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prashantaha. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudrakere noe jai krishna tatta vrita shri guru hoi. Whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Here, his lordship Vamandev also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. Vamandev is enacting his leela. Leela means play, just like a drama. So it's quite a drama that's unfolding. Vamandev is cheating Bali Maharaj, coming to him as an ordinary brahmana. And according to the etiquette, Bali Maharaj had just praised Vamandev for being a brahmana. And the brahmana will praise the king. It's a mutual exchange of praise. He will praise him for his descendants. Both will praise each other for their descendants because they come in, both brahmanas and kshatriyas, they come in dynasties, generally speaking, it's like that. Nowadays, brahman dynasties are broken down, but traditionally, that's referred to in Gita also, Arjuna refers to Kula Dharma Sanatanaha. He says, if all the women are killed, then what will happen to the Sanatan Dharma, or the continuous process of religion that is passed down by the family tradition? Because generally the women, they are the woman is considered the first guru, the mother is the first guru for the child, because she's looking after, and the mother gives so many instructions, and then later on the father also, and then so many gurus are there. One will be trained by the guru in the gurukul. Specifically, that he becomes the. There are so many gurus, but the specific personal guru is the guru who trains, who is the shiksha guru, and he gives mantras. So, Prahlad Maharaj and Vamandev is praising Bali Maharaj for his great dynasty and for his own achievements, because coming in a great dynasty, one should uphold the tradition of that dynasty. It's not very honorable to be born in a great dynasty and then simply be some kind of useless wretch. Should uphold that tradition. Here nowadays in India we see there are so many honorable families who for many generations, just the Brahmin families, they've been worshipping the Lord, either as Shalagram Shila among them, or in the form of the deity specifically. But nowadays, their descendants, they're all eating meat and becoming complete materialists. They're not sustaining the tradition. So that concept of family tradition, that is broken down. Now, you may say, well, isn't that kind of materialistic, this idea of family tradition? Yes and no, just like anything else. Anything else in this material world, it can be materialistic or it can be spiritual, depending on the usage. If we praise someone for their family tradition because their family is a family of great devotees, then that is in relationship with Krishna. Just like we find that Sukha Goswami, Shonak Rishi, speaking on behalf of all the other rishis at Naimisharanya, inquired from Sukha Goswami, he wanted to hear more about Parikshit Maharaj, Yadi Krishna Katha Ashrayam, if it's in relationship with Krishna. Because Parikshit Maharaj is a great devotee of Krishna, so he wanted to hear more about him if it's in relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, he may have had so many social and political and military activities also. But he wanted to hear about his activities that were specifically Krishna conscious. You may not be so much interested in the apparently material activities of a devotee. Just like there are so many acharyas who in the early part of their life, they may have in many ways appeared to be a materialistic person. Even our own great founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, the people who knew him thought he was a religious man, but after all he's one of us, he's a businessman, he's busy earning money to support his family. So it may appear like that, although in the course of time his pure devotion to Krishna was shown. But we don't want to make so much research into what were his business dealings and what kind of products he was manufacturing. That may be there also, just to bring into focus his spiritual prowess that was more manifested at a later time. It wasn't that he was a materialist at that time, but he was also great. It wasn't that Prabhupada was a businessman who later in life became inspired and became a devotee. But he was all his life pure devotee of Krishna. He was sent to this world by Krishna. But for some time, his greatness was not manifested. So this family tradition, here we see Vamandev is praising Bali Maharaj. He speaks about his advisors, who is he was in association with also, not only his family members, but who he's in association with. Their advisors are descendants of Rigu, that's true. They were his Kula Guru. Here it's described. His family guru is Shukracharya, because Shukracharya is the guru of the demons. So he's been praised as a very honorable person. Actually, Shukracharya, even though he's the guru of the demons, he is a very honorable person. That's stated also in Gita, Krishna says, Kavinam Ushana Kavihi. He says, among the great brahmanas or pandits, scholars, I am represented by Shukracharya. So he's a great person, not a great devotee, but he's considered a great personality. He's a great brahman, a very powerful brahman. We see here that in the previous verses, Bali Maharaj has been praising Vamadeva because he doesn't know he's the Supreme Lord. He's been praising him as a great brahmana, and Krishna is known as Go Brahmana Hitayacha. In many places in his books, Prabhupada speaks about offering honor to the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas. So real Brahmana is Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, one who knows Brahman. He is a Brahman. So the topmost understanding of Brahman is Krishna. To know in personal Brahman, that's also to understand Brahman. So one who's actually got the qualities of a Brahmana, that he's learned, austere, renounced, detached. These words, austere, renounced, detached, they may sound similar, but actually they have their own specific meanings. He's cultivating knowledge of the Absolute Truth, he's situated in the mode of goodness. Last time we were reading some of the qualities that Shitoshna Sukha Dukesha Sama, he's maintained equilibrium in heat and cold, happiness and distress. He maintains equilibrium even if people praise him or reject him. He's silent, he doesn't talk all nonsense. So these are qualities, of course, later in this verse, Krishna sums it up by saying, Bhaktima te piyonara, he was devoted to me, he is very dear to me. But the other qualities also, Krishna appreciates. We see here Vamandev, Krishna himself would, when he came in, Krishna in his original form, Krishna, he would praise the qualities of the Brahmanas, they're respectable people in human society. Even not everyone who's a Brahmana may have come to the platform of a Vaishnava, but still such people are to be praised and exalted in human society because they have important service to do in human society. Setting a good example of sadhacha, of proper behavior. Again, the real proper behavior is to be a devotee of Krishna, but the whole Varnashram system is designed to gradually bring people to that point. Not everyone comes to that point immediately, but the Brahmanas, even if they're not Vaishnavas, they are elevated personalities, so they are to be respected. Even Prabhupada, he told that we should offer our devotees, they should offer respect even to Mayavadi sannyasis. They should bow down and offer their obeisances. And we are absolutely opposed to their philosophical understanding. We hate their philosophical understanding. But that if they're actually sannyasis, just to be a sannyasi, to follow the principles of renunciation, celibacy, then they may also have the qualities of being learned in Shastra, even if they totally malinterpret it. So these are in themselves praiseworthy qualities. So Vamandev is also appreciating them. But you, my dear king, first of all, Dali Maharaj was appreciating the Brahminical qualities in Vamandev. And then Vamandev was saying that you're praising me for being a Brahmin for my Brahminical qualities, but you yourself are exalted because you're also advised by very great Brahmins. But then he said that your instructor for your future life is Prahlad Maharaj. So it seems that even though Bali Maharaj was generally instructed by Shukracharya and others of his family and ilk, that he also had a very intimate relationship with his grandfather. Now that's not surprising. We often find that the grandfather and the grandchildren, they're very close. The grandparents give a lot of affection to they tend to be more affectionate even than the parents. Prabhupada said that once he was leaving Los Angeles, I believe, and this was very, maybe 1967, 1968, the early days of the movement. And Prabhupada was going to India, they didn't know when he was coming back or if he was coming back. So Prabhupada put a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the assistant and said, my spiritual master will look after you. The grandfather is more kind than the father, so he will look after you. So that generally is there because the parents themselves, they have so many other responsibilities and they're not so used to dealing with children. They may get a little agitated or little angry at the children because children, they are of the same, their whole nature is to be disturbing most of the time, except when they're asleep. But grandparents, they've already been through all that with their own children, so they tolerate that, and especially grandmothers are known to be oceans of affection. Although it may be different in the modern age, Harishori Prabhu told how his grandmother told his mother in regard to himself when he was in the womb, you better have an abortion. But his mother declined, which is good, because he became Prabhupada's servant and so many other services was performed before and after that. Anyway, it appears that either the relationship between Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj is very well known and open, and therefore Vamandev is praising that. Now, how he would know that, of course he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's playing as a Brahmin boy. So how he would know that? Well, maybe he did some inquiries before he came, because the Brahmins, when they go to beg something from the Kshatriya kings, they have to praise them in various ways. You see, he's praising him that you're exalted because you're advised by the Bhargavas, the descendants of Rigu. So it's something like a company, if one company goes to another company with a proposal, maybe advertising agency will advertise your products for you. They have to do their homework before they go. They have to find out what their products are and what's their present market status and so many things. If a company's, or if there's a, in India it's common that the government gives a tender for doing some job, maybe building a dam or building a bridge or supplying notebooks to all the schools in the state or some such thing. So the company that proposes to fulfill the order to take up the job, they have to do their homework before they submit their proposal. That what kind of quality job do they want, and how have others submitted previously? They have to know what they're doing. Otherwise, if they just go and say, "Yeah, we'll do your job for you," then immediately they'll be rejected. So in the same way, the Brahmana, before going to the king, they had to gather some information about him. And of course, if the king was really an illustrious king who was really worth begging something from, it would be well known. That was previously there, that the kings, they had such... they were well known in the state. Naranam Chandaradipam, also in that same section of Gita, Krishna says, among men, I am the leader of men, means the king. So you'll find that previously in the kingdoms where the king actually wielded some power, he was known throughout the state. People knew about him, and they knew about his qualities, his activities. Even up till fairly recently in Nepal, the king was wielding power. He was the only real kingdom left in the world. So he was well known, and at least some people liked him, although political maneuvering changed that. And there may be other reasons also, such as misuse of power. Similarly in Thailand, the king and the queen and the princess, they're very well known and people like them and everyone knows about them. So if the king's really a king who's worth begging something from, his qualities would be known throughout the state. Not exactly like how in the modern age they were doing this whole Prince Charles, Princess Diana thing where they photo her fooling around like a prostitute on the beach. Not exactly like that. They're very honorable and respectable. So the Vamandev is praising Bali Maharaj for that. Now he's saying that you are your advisor for your future life is Prahlad Maharaj. Now, either that was known, generally known, that Prahlad Maharaj would give instruction to Bali Maharaj. Now if that was known, then Shukracharya must have already been afraid, because Prahlad Maharaj was known as a great devotee. And Shukracharya was always trying to steer the Daitya dynasty away from this bhakti to Lord Vishnu. As Hiranyakashipu said, when Hiranyakashipu decided he wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj, he justified that, so-called justified that, by saying if there's if there's a thorn that should be removed, or if there's some infection in one limb of the body, you should cut the limb so as to save the infection spreading to the rest of the body and spoiling it. So that was Hiranyakashipu's logic. Of course, he wasn't able to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj went on living. But his son, Prahlad Maharaj's son, who became the next king of the demons, Virochana, he was a good demon in the true tradition of the Daitya dynasty. He was an enemy of Vishnu and he was materialistic, and Shukracharya and everyone else were very happy with him. But then Bali Maharaj came and they weren't very happy with him. It seemed Shukracharya was, he could have been, being a powerful Brahmin, he could understand that Vamandev was the Supreme Lord. He also understood that Bali Maharaj was inclined towards Vishnu. So it seems that Prahlad Maharaj, he was maybe surreptitiously or clandestinely, due to his affectionate relationship, he could have a close access to Bali Maharaj. And he was training him up to be a good devotee, much to the chagrin of Shukracharya and all the other demons. But what could they do? They couldn't refuse. Previously, Prahlad Maharaj himself, Hiranyakashipu and Shanda and Amarka, his teachers, they understood that he's getting instruction from some Vaishnava source, and they wanted to find out what that is. But who are these intruders coming in the palace and secretly instructing him? They wanted to find out who they were and kill them. That's their usual method. They just kill them, that's all. Some Vaishnavas, just kill them. What else is there to do with Vaishnavas? Best thing to do, that's what the demons think. Then they can't cause any more trouble. So they were looking for the clandestine Vaishnavas. But in this case, Prahlad Maharaj himself was previously the king. It seems he had retired longer. And in the meantime, Virochana had also died. And Bali Maharaj is now the king. And in many ways, he was an ideal king of the demons. He was a very successful king. He discharged his duties as kings very well. He actually managed to conquer over the heavenly planets, which the demons, they're always thinking of doing. Their goal in life is they're always plotting how to take over the heavenly planets. So Bali Maharaj had done that. But at the same time, they couldn't openly express it because he was the king. Bali Maharaj was the king, but the demons, they're always afraid that he had some kind of affection towards the other party, just like there was always some kind of uneasiness when Queen Victoria of England, she married, Albert, he was a prince of Germany, at that time, Saxony, I believe it was, which was part of Germany. So there was always some uneasiness that she would be inclined towards the Germans, who are always the enemies of England, whenever there's some big fight. When there's not a fight, they're all friends, but otherwise they're always England and Germany, the First World War, Second World War. So in the same way, they're always afraid that Bali Maharaj might be inclined towards the opposite party, the Vaishnavas, because he is getting this instruction from Prahlad Maharaj. And you know, Prahlad Maharaj, even though he had discharged his duties as the king of the demons, it was well known that he was inclined towards the opposite party. So maybe Vamandev was giving himself away a little bit when he noted that Prahlad Maharaj is your instructor for your future life. But anyway, in the next few verses, he's going to be praising other forefathers of Bali Maharaj, namely his great-grandfathers, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, which you might think is strange. Why is he praising Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu? who, he killed them. They're enemies of Vishnu. They were his enemies. But anyway, he praised them. You may praise an enemy also. He said that it's better to have a learned enemy than a foolish friend. Because if your opponent is learned, then real learning means vidyanadati vinayam. You'll have some humility or some kind of quality that even if he opposes you, and learning means he has culture. Nowadays, learning means you have to cram in a whole bunch of knowledge about something which will probably be obsolete in 3 years anyway, and then you get a job. That's called learning. And then you stay up all night at the Cine Association over here and kiss the girls on the way out, as we saw when we were walking past. So that's called learning. But real learning means character. Such character, the brahmacharis, even if they were sons of the king, they had to go to the gurukul. And menial service they had to perform to the guru. Brahmachari gurukule vasam danto guru sham. Acharan dasavam nicho. Suhrida, guru suhrida. Even if he's the son of a king, even if he's the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, he has to go. Not Krishna has to go, but he's showing the example. He's the son of a kshatriya, Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. He also went to the gurukul. And just like that, like the other students, even he was there with a Brahmin student, very poor, Sudama. And he's coming from an opulent Kshatriya dynasty. But in the gurukul, all the same. Just like in the government schools, they have school uniform. So that everyone looks the same. You can't distinguish who's from a rich family or a poor family. So that the kids from the rich family doesn't become the young torture, the kids from the poor family. At least you can't see the difference if they have a uniform. So in the gurukul, the rich, poor, whatever, they all have to be acharan dasavan nicho. They all have to serve the guru just like a menial servant. Carrying firewood, savitpani shotri. You should approach the guru with wood, firewood for sacrifice. And where do you get the wood? You don't go to the local store and buy it. The brahmachari doesn't have any money, and there weren't any such stores. They'd be living in the forest. They'd go and collect it. They would go and collect. The forest means they'd be in the forest near to a village, just in the edge of the forest. And they'd go into the village and beg some edibles. What is it? Bhavata Bhiksha Dehi. Give us some. Please give us some food, Bhiksha, some foodstuffs. But they would give, and the brahmacharis would bring to the guru, most probably the guru's wife, they would bring most of their grihasthas. She would cook and they would offer. Then the guru would call, come, come. Take prasad, because he would call each one by name. If by chance he forgot anyone, brahmachari would fast. He wouldn't complain against the guru. So that was the training in character. Sometimes in some countries they have this draft. They send people to the army. You have to go to the army. So in some ways, that can be good. Otherwise, you see, Prabhupada was complaining how the young men, they grow up, they're just like hippies. They're just living a luxurious, sensuous life. But if you go to the army, then you have to learn discipline, responsibility. If you do anything wrong, you're chastised, austerity, all these things. So there are some certain things you can learn. To take some hardship, that's also good for the character. A very soft life, that is not good. Even materially, you see, the kings used to send their sons to the gurukul to live a very austere life. Even though when they come back, they'll be living in the palace, very luxurious life. But that for training in character, they should live with many hardships. And simply by taking hardships, that doesn't give character. But if hardships along with training are given, austerity for the sake of spiritual realization, that tapo divyam, spiritual austerities for the sake of, along with training, then that is excellent for training in the character. And that is brahmachari life. Brahmachari life means austerities, training for forming character. So that I find that as making that a learned enemy is better than a foolish friend. Because if you have a learned enemy, at least he won't overstep the boundaries of reasonable behavior. Even someone may have a disagreement with you, but a true brahmana will be very liberal. He won't bear any grudge against you. Even there may be some philosophical difference of opinion, but it's not a personal. He doesn't hate you personally. Just like the lawyers in the court, they may argue with each other like anything. And even in the court, they may be calling each other bad names and so many. Now your thesis, your this is completely bogus. Then after, it's their job. They come out and then because they're in the court, they're opposing each other every day for 50 years. Or sometimes they're on the same party or whatever. So it's their job. And they come out and they're friends. They're at the Bar Association. But a foolish friend, very dangerous. Because he'll, in trying to help you, he'll do so many things which will cause mischief. Or because he's known as your friend, he does so many nonsense things, and because you're his friend, you're associated with him, you get a bad name. Or you may have to help him get out of his stupid position he put himself into, because you're obligated, because he's your friend. So in this way, Vamandev is praising Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now, they were demons, but they certain qualities, they had chivalry. And he is praising them for their chivalry. That is a great quality for a kshatriya. Even it may be misplaced because they want to fight with Vishnu. But that's a great quality. So that you, if you see any good quality, you can see that, you can learn from that. Even the dog. It's recommended we can learn three things from the dog. What are the three things? To be faithful to the master, to be alert as soon as you're awake, not to lie on the bed and twiddle your toes and look at them as soon as you're awake. Get up. What's the third quality? I can't remember, nor can anyone else. Maybe there's only two. So in this way, you know, Prabhupada used to quote sometimes Napoleon. Napoleon was a rascal. He was simply conquering over other countries and enjoying, and for no reason, simply marching into other countries to take them over. But Prabhupada quoted that he was a great person, he hardly used to sleep. He would sometimes sleep on his horse. Because if you have important work to do, then you automatically minimize sleeping. So that's an example you can say. Of course, it was important from the worldly point of view, but it's meaningless from the spiritual point of view. But materially, he's known as a great person. Even materially, you can't become a great person unless you have some specific qualities. So the qualities he had, determination. And that determination means that he was willing to do what was necessary. Do the needful, Prabhupada used to say. So he would do the needful to fight, to march from one place to another. It's a long march all the way to Moscow. That was a foolish thing. I don't think he reached Moscow. He got frozen out on the way. But it was a long march, so to keep on going, and spend day and night sleeping. Well, we're tired. Okay, you can sleep while you're marching. Just point the horse in the right direction and keep on going. Another thing Prabhupada quoted, impossible is a word in a full dictionary. When Napoleon, he wanted to get to some other place, which was over on the other side of the Alp Mountains. So how to get there? Well, how are you going to go with an army across the mountains? You have to go around them. Napoleon said, no, we'll go over the mountains. So his general said that it's impossible. Napoleon said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Prabhupada used to quote that. Just like Prabhupada was told, he wanted to go to the west to preach. Krishna Maharaj, everyone told him, impossible! Those lectures, they're not going to chant Hare Krishna. They're all eating meat. You can't go there. It's impossible. Prabhupada thought, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So he took some you can see some good quality, even in a robe. Well, that Chanakya says is Nichamam Yutamam Jnanam, that you can take knowledge even from a person from a low position. If he says, even if a person is not a Vaishnava, even if he's a non-devotee, you can take instruction, not out of all things, but something if he says which is useful, you can take advantage of it. Then Prabhupada used to quote so many things. God made the country and man made the city. He used to quote the English poet Cowper, who was probably a Bhupi, almost certainly. So we don't take him as our acharya, the poet Cowper. We don't take him as our acharya. Prabhupada quoted him and he used to eat meat, therefore we should eat meat. No. But something good you took. Even so many times we quote Shankaracharya. That so many things Shankaracharya said, which were not everything he said was wrong. Many things he said were right, because as far as philosophy is concerned, Vaishnavas and Mayavadis, they agree on everything up to the point of liberation. We agree this material world is miserable, we should renounce it, we should take to the path of liberation. What that liberation is, Vaishnavas and Mayavadis have different opinions, but the fact that this material world is miserable and we should come out of it, that we both agree. So many things Shankaracharya and his followers used to say, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. How many times are you quoting this? Dari, what is that? Dari, Dari Stana Bharam, Dari Desham. Shankaracharya used to quote, Don't be misled. By the side of Nari's Tatam, the breasts of a woman and beautiful waist. What is that? Eta Mangsha Vikaram. It is simply a transformation of meat, flesh. So you should consider this again and again. So this we can also take the instruction. So here Vamandev is also praising Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, as is the etiquette when you go to see a king or any great person, you praise them. And then he being pleased with you, the Brahmin will praise the king. He being pleased with you will give you some donation. It's not simply a mutual praising club, but it's Vaishnava culture. Because the Brahmanas, they're supposed to take charity from the king, that is, the king's supposed to give charity. And the Brahmin is supposed to accept it and use it in the service of Krishna. And in this way everyone is benefited, because the king, he extracts taxes from the Vaishyas who engage the Shudras, and people also offer him gifts, and then the king offers it to the Brahmanas who use it in the service of Krishna. So in this way the whole society is benefited, because the Brahmanas know how to use it in the service of Krishna. So what the king takes, that is produced by other orders of society, he gives it to the Brahmanas offer it to Krishna. So in this way, the whole society is benefited. It's not simply for materialistic purposes, although that broke down, that someone simply claims, I'm a Brahmana, you give me something and I'll use it for my sense gratification, just like we see nowadays, there's so many gurus who collect funds, and then they just live some kind of materialistic life. Family, the certain Vaishnava Sampradaya, the acharyas are all householders and they're well known for collecting vast funds and
living a luxurious life, a practically materialistic life. But that's misuse. The Vamandev is upholding the Vedic culture of being a Brahmin. Of course, you're going to cheat also. That we'll see later. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Maharaj?
What is the history of the Prahlad's son?
Virochana? I don't know. Let's look it up in the... either in the Pali or in the... Do you have the Puranic Encyclopedia? I think I looked it up. There's not much said. Maybe you'll find something in the Devi Bhagavad or something. He was a demon, yeah. That's explained later on. That Shukracharya refers to Bali Maharaj, he calls him Vairochana, just like here. Also, Vamandev is referring to him as Vairochana, son of Vairochana. Shukracharya is saying, come on, you're the son of Vairochana, you're supposed to be a demon. But then when Bali Maharaj replies, he refers to himself as Paradi, I am the descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. He didn't identify, and in the purport, Prabhupada notes that he didn't identify himself with Vairochana, but he identified himself with Prahlad. So it appears that Vairochana was a dyed in the blood, true blooded demon of the. Actually, they're all. See, Vamandev is the son of Kashyap and the Diti. And the Daityas, on which the demon dynasty in which Bali Maharaj, they're also sons of Kashyap by Diti. So they're cousins, actually. Not even, they're closer than cousins. Isn't it? Yeah, they're closer than cousins. They're actually half brothers. Yeah. Half brothers. But there was a disagreement. So you see, from the very beginning of time, family life is full of quarrels.
In the beginning, you said something about being tired of being in the past.
Trying to stop cussing and swearing.
I have 99% of the thought I get angry. So how
when you get angry, you're crazy, but it doesn't matter. Actually, if you do that in India, people will be very respectful. In the West, they'll think you're crazy. Or actually, in the West, like, they don't bother with anyone. If you're in California or New York or something, whatever you do, now it doesn't matter. You can't, I mean, if you hop on one finger down the sidewalk, people, you know, they're trained that you don't take any notice of anyone, whatever they do. Don't give anyone any kind of recognition. Everything's okay. You can have three green hairs going like this, and two purple ones, and another bunch of hair shaped like a crescent going like this. You walk into a shop and people say, yes, what do you want?